Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
If you're going to be a presidential candidate, there's some things you know you're going to have to do. You're going to have to shake a lot of hands, for example. You're going to have to kiss babies. You'll have to pose for a lot of pictures. You're going to have to eat a lot of pancake breakfasts, probably. But it turns out that you probably also should sit down at the computer and start writing, because a memoir has become de rigueur for the modern political candidate. Maybe you can blame JFK if you want to go back that far. Maybe you can just go more recently and blame Barack Obama. Either way, the memoir from the candidate is now commonplace, so commonplace that at this point, every single Republican candidate has a memoir except Michelle Bachmann. And here's the thing, she has a book contract that was announced late last month, so her memoir is coming. What is the deal with the memoir and politics? Patrick Henry Bass joins us, takeaway contributor and senior editor at Essence Magazine. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Maybe it's just that a memoir is their opportunity to talk for as long as they want without being interrupted.
It's a great platform. I think that Sarah Palin, who, you know, is she or isn't she, you know, jumping into the race with Going Rogue, she was able to define herself in her own terms for her audience, specifically for her audience. I think with John F. Kennedy, what he did with Profiles in Courage is he showed this intellectual heft and this humanitarianism, and also just that he had leadership ability, that I don't think anyone was looking at him as a leader when he was in Congress in 1954-55. And so this book just sort of broke out, and it broke out in a huge way. And so you had this congressman who was a Catholic, breaking all types of barriers. And what it did, it drew him closer to the American public on, you know, all walks of life, you know, ethnicities. And that's what a good book can do. Like Dreams for My Father with Barack Obama. I mean,
it was a bestseller.
Well, it didn't start out as a bestseller. It was out of print. It was out of print. It was with a small publisher. He put it back into print. And people really— When he became a serious candidate. So when he became a serious candidate, people became connected to the memoir, to his story, to his personal story. So in that way, he was able to reintroduce himself and connect with readers in this way, where you had this story of heroism and hope. Same for Jimmy Carter, who had Why Not Great in 1975 when he was governor of Georgia. And, you know, he was not taken seriously at all.
No.
People really started to, you know, like this whole homespun tale of this peanut farmer from Main Street. That really connected him to audiences, readers.
What makes the memoir better than, say, Al Gore wrote a book before he became a presidential candidate, but it was a nonfiction. It was Earth in the Balance.
Well, see, I think it's always better when you are either introducing yourself in terms of your personal biography, or you are introducing your ideology, like a Rick Santorum. Is introducing ideology, conservative ideology, because in his particular story, because people don't take him serious as a true conservative. Mitt Romney has a serious, delicate balance in terms of a dance that he's doing. He's trying to, you know, assuage people and make them feel comfortable about his religion. He's also trying to make people feel comfortable about him as a leader. He also wants to tap into this whole sense of being a father and a family man and someone who's responsible. And his book is a better place for him to do that than Meet the Press or The Takeaway.
That's the ideology thing. That's probably where you'd put Hillary Clinton's book, It Takes a Village.
Well, It Takes a Village. That was when she was first lady. So, I mean, she sort of, you know, her actual personal—
She probably had political ambition.
I'm waiting for the Tina Brown book on Hillary Clinton. But the what was interesting about Hillary Clinton is what she left out. When you're mired in scandal—
Yeah.
Then your memoir doesn't achieve the point, because what most people want to know is what happened during those years.
Right.
I don't want to go there, you know.
Right.
But what happened during those years, and she wasn't ready
to share that. Yeah. All right. So we have memoirs from, as you said, Rick Santorum, Mitt Romney. We have one from Rick Perry, Newt Gingrich, Michelle Bachmann. It has one forthcoming.
Yes.
Tim Pawlenty, Ron Paul, Sarah Palin. Right. If we were to go by sales, which one of these candidates and their memoirs would get elected?
Well, if we were to go by sales just overall, it would be Sarah Palin. But if we were to go by sales as the momentum is building, it would be surprisingly Ron Paul. And what's happening there is Ron Paul is attracting independents. Independents are drawn to ideology. They want to know his philosophy. What do you think about the issues? People who are far more partisan would be more interested in someone's personal biography. So Rick Perry's book, which he co-authored with Newt Gingrich, that's more ideology. It's more of the same. But if Rick Perry threw his
Rick
hat
Perry, the governor of
the
Texas.
Governor of Texas, if he threw his hat in the ring and he wrote a memoir, you know, that's homespun and, you know, that talks about why it is that he loves, you know, killing so many people you know, through the death penalty, like where that came from, right? If he could really, really drill down and give us a sense of, you know, this connective tissue in his life, it will not make him a joke. It will not make him as divisive, I think, as a polarizing as a figure.
I might rephrase that as why he's such a strong supporter of the death penalty.
Exactly.
All right. So, but you've read some of these. Do any of them stand out for you in terms of the writing?
I have to say, look, I have to be quite objective for what I do at Essence Magazine and what I do with The Takeaway. So when I read books, I really do come at it objectively. I don't come in to, you know, prejudge. I have to say that Sarah Palin, I know people think that, you know, the listeners
going rogue.
I think that she achieved her goals in that book, which were to reintroduce herself. So it holds its own in terms of her personal story. It holds its own. There are no surprises in there, you know, but as a, you know, a sort of Cinderella story, I think it sort of works. It does. It holds up on its own. I think that the strongest book really is Ron Paul's ideology book, but the book that I think...
The Revolution and Manifesto.
Right, but I think the book that actually works the best just as a book on its own is Mitt Romney's book. I think No Apology, The Case for American Greatness. It has touches of profiles and he's borrowed a lot from a few people. It has touches of John JFK. It has touches of Jimmy Carter, and it actually has touches. I know people are they will be shocked to hear this. It has some touches of Dreams from My Father. I think he's done a good job with this book.
Okay, so explain to me again, how does the memoir perhaps influence people? I mean, you talked a lot about people's ideology. Maybe the ideology books are the ones that have the most power to sway a voter, right, as opposed to those that, like the personal memoirs, that are playing to a base.
Exactly. So when one goes into the voting booth, it's quite personal, right? And so if you've connected with Barack Obama from Dreams from My Father, you know, debates work, of course. I mean, debates are highly influential, but there's nothing more influential, I think, than a connection that someone can make. This is a book reviewer talking, of course. Nothing more personal than a connection that someone can make through the page. And
It's an
extremely intimate and bonding experience. And people really felt like they knew Barack Obama. So whatever they were hearing from his detractors when he was running for president, whatever they heard from his detractors or his critics, they felt that this is not the guy I knew in this memoir. When Jimmy Carter was, you know, just a come from behind, come from nowhere candidate, people wanted to see this man win because they loved the guy that they saw in that book, who was, you know, this peanut farmer, you know, against all odds, wanted to succeed and make the country great. And I think that Mitt Romney has that particular narrative going on in his book, and we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
All right. No Apology is I guess, the recommendation from Patrick Henry Bass.
Absolutely.
Takeaway contributor and senior editor at Essence Magazine. If you've read a political memoir that you want to recommend, give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post your comment at thetakeaway.org. Thank you so much, Patrick.
Thank you, Celeste.
Earlier this hour, we spoke with a bioethicist who was talking about whether or not the state should intervene in cases of extreme child obesity. And we wondered, do you think the state should take obese children away from their parents?
This is John Paul from Detroit. I believe before we start taking children away from their parents or failing to control their children's obesity, we should consider our foster care system in this country. I don't believe we are equipped to handle the idea of taking that number of children away from their parents. We need to look for another solution.
Give us your opinion. 877-8-MY-TAKE or text the word START to 69866. When a child has life-threatening diseases, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, do you think they should leave a house where they're eating a lot? Give us a call. I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway. We'll be right back.